No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed for Just Plane Radio. We are your crew for another virtual flight through the latest aviation news and information. Now, last week I was flying solo, but this week I got reinforcements with me. Captain Ed is back with me via the web. And,
well, you were flying solo, and the reason I'm back is we've got reports from the FAA of some unsafe operations.
Yes, well, that happens whether you're here or not, though, usually. anything to do with the flight controls. But this week I'm sharing them, or at least I have my instructor with me. So we're going to, fly by the book, so to speak. And welcome aboard. Well, we're going to delve into some aviation news and information. And at the top of our flight plan today, you know, I didn't delve into this last week because I didn't really know what it meant. But the press release finally came out about Cessna, or Textron, I should say, which is Cessna's
Textron Aviation.
Yeah, which is...
Get it right.
Yep, and they are Cessna's parent company, and they bought Beechcraft, and now Cessna and Beechcraft's organizations are merging finally. And, you know, when this happened initially, you know, one of the first things that was thrown out there, okay, how many jobs are going to be lost? You know, who's going to lose their gig, that kind of thing. And finally, the first wave of layoffs have come down. They're saying 750 people are losing their jobs because of this takeover or merging of these two companies. However, yeah, that number is much lower than some of the projections that were thrown out there when this was first announced. So, yeah, in that standpoint, it's good, I guess, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's good, and that, you know, that some combination or consolidation was expected. That's you have redundant positions in both organizations. You need to streamline it, and that's one of the advantages of merging companies like that.
Yes, well, it is. And, you know, the thing is, what does this mean? That's where I kind of want to go with it today. Not just to those folks that, well, we know what it means to those people who have lost their jobs. And actually, I saw some report that some of them might be getting sucked up by another company that's getting ready to hire a bunch of folks. So we'll see how that unfolds, and hopefully that'll work out for those folks. Because, you know, you never like to hear that people are losing their jobs. But what does it mean overall for, you know, the Cessna and Beechcraft brands and to the end user? You know, one of the things that we delved in last week when I was talking to Tom Haynes from the AOPA, you know, he mentioned that Cessna still has their sights set on this new 182 diesel plane that's about to come out, which could be I don't know if it'll be a game changer, but it'll be a step in the right direction as far as, you know, fuel maintenance and operation costs coming down a tad. Do you think, Ed?
Yeah. You know, it's overdue is what I think about after spending some time with some diesel technology lately, that we need a change in this industry as far as technology in our power plants, because, and you hear me joke about it when we're talking systems about Charlie Mike, is, you know, this is 1920s and 1930s technology.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, a magneto system and a air-cooled piston engine, super reliable, nothing wrong with it, but in reality there is technology out there that is actually lower maintenance and more efficient. And you know, they tried the diesels in the late 80s and into the 90s, and they were just cost prohibitive. It really is now to the point where they're getting the cost down to where it would not be cost prohibitive.
Yeah, well, the price has come down, the technology has come up, and now they're starting to, it's becoming much more viable. As you know, I got to fly with Captain Keith up in that Red Hawk from our folks when we were at Sun and Fun. And you know, I love that plane because it flew just like Charlie Mike, the plane that I'm learning in, this old Cessna 172. But I don't have to worry about, you know, fuel mixture and things like that because that's all automatic. It has that, what's it, FLIBS, or what is it again? What's the... I don't know. It's one of those kind of...
Is that a diving term?
Yeah. I'll go with that. FADEC. Yeah, FADEC, which automatically adjusts...
Which is what you have in your car.
Right, like fuel injection, right?
Well, no, it's computer-controlled fuel management and, you know, push-button starting, which you see, you know, not even in the high-end cars anymore. The general... you know, cars out there, you know, for us common folk, yeah, we don't have keys anymore. We have this key fob we put in our pocket. We climb in the car, we push a button.
Yeah.
The key fob's got to be in the car for the car to start. You push the button, start the button. All of the fuel management and mixture controls are all regulated by the computer. All we do is step on the gas to go, take our foot off the gas to slow. And that's what the other really true, in my opinion, big advantage of this diesel technology is they're using a FADEC engine control system.
Right.
Push the throttle forward to get the RPM up, pull the throttle back to slow it down. And there's no prop control, even though it's a variable pitch propeller. The FADEC is controlling the propeller as well, and that exact same system that you experience in the Red Hawk is basically what they'll be using in the 182 JTA, and it's not a 182 diesel, it's a JTA.
A JTA, which means what? Just a different model number?
It sounds really cool.
Oh, okay, of course. Yeah.
Okay, and basically they want to make sure that the people fueling it understand that it's a jet fueled airplane.
Got it. Now, is it going to have a push button like my car? We didn't have that on the Red Hawk, but could that happen on the Cessna? Maybe, because that would be a cool feature. Instead of keys, let's just have the push button and the key fob.
There was no key in the 172, the Red Hawk he flew. He literally flipped a start switch.
Ah, and, that's what it was.
You know, you turn the FADEC on, you press the button, the engine started. You pressed a different button, it did the run up and all the engine checks and back down.
That's right.
Then you turn the FADEC or you turn the master switch off to prove that the backup battery ran the FADEC.
Right. Now it's all coming back to me. See, I wasn't the pilot.
You were paying no attention.
No, I was in the back seat.
You were just sitting there with your head up in the clouds.
No, I was listening and I was paying attention. But now it's coming back to me. That's right. I was just like, what I was getting into, I was like, wow, this is way easier. This is less. All I got to do is flip a switch and press a button or two and I'm good to go. And I can just concentrate on flying, which is really what I should be doing anyway, as opposed to all this other stuff. Leaning mixtures and, you know, flipping on the magnetos and checking those and doing the run-ups and all this. I would rather just watch, flip a button, push a button, and watch some needles move. That's a good way to look at it, isn't it? Or is that a lazy pilot's way to look at it?
No, some of the best pilots are lazy pilots. It allows you to focus, as you said a moment ago, on the important thing, flying the airplane.
Right.
Your eyes outside, looking for traffic, staying situationally aware, and controlling the airplane. And you don't get task saturation in this airplane because of that, or there's less possibility of task saturation because we've eliminated some of these tasks.
Exactly. And the less tasks I have to do, I know I will be greatly appreciative of any manufacturer that makes that happen. You hear what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm saying, because you've seen me in action when I do get a little overloaded and I'm like, hey, what is going on? My brain doesn't think this quick. Come on. So finally.
Your brain doesn't think, you're saying? I knew that a long time.
No, what I'm saying is the technology is finally catching up to my brain, or my brain or slowing down. I don't know. Either way, it's good. And from that standpoint, the technological advances, those are good. And hopefully this consolidation with Cessna Beechcraft will lead to more of those, whether it's that, JTA. JTA. Diesel Cessna one coming out here in the next few months or year or so, or other advances Hopefully, you know, now that they'll have a little bit more control over their production flow and maybe leveraging both companies together, maybe that'll end up being a good thing ultimately for the end user. Any yeah. predictions on that from your perspective or what?
I think it will be. I mean, things that I've heard about the changes in the leadership, the restructuring of leadership, you know, picking some of the best from both companies. I know that from what I hear that it's going to be very good for the piston side of the new Textron Aviation. They have a very good person at the helm of that part of the organization, which will bode well for the 172, the 182 JTA.
Time will tell. We can only hope for the best. A lot of technology news coming out this week. We're going to delve into it next right here on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deepwater Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deepwater Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwatercay.com. That's deepwatercay.com.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. You want to learn how to fly with Captain Ed? Go to ftpros.com and sign up. Give them a call, and they'll hook you up just like me. Well, not necessarily like me. Much better than me. It'll take you less time than it's taken me to get my flight certificate. But they'll treat you right, and you'll have a blast. All right, so a lot of stuff in the going on in the aviation world this week. And you know, technology is really changing quickly. Just from the time that I started learning how to fly myself on my way to becoming a private pilot and getting my flight certificate, it'll happen someday. You know, at that point, everybody will be flying with like special sneakers from Nike or something, maybe. But in the meantime, the advances in airplanes and things are impressive. I mean, a couple things popped up on my radar this week. One was this new electric plane from the Airbus group. I think it was like the Paris Air Show or some show overseas. They had their first test flight. Did you see this thing, Ed?
No, I didn't. I think I cruised by the blog on it one of the aviation blogs, but I didn't take time to look at it.
Yeah, well, I guess it was one of the first electric planes, maybe not the first. I'm not sure about that, but it's a two seater. I saw the video, and it had, I think it's called the E plane or E fan is the engine or something like that. Where so it has two like propeller type jet engines up along the back of the fuselage, so it kind of looks like a jet. But I guess it's not. I don't know if it is or not. I mean, you'd have to go look at it yourself. But the fact that it could take two people and it looked like a small, light, sport aircraft and it could fly, that was pretty huge, I would think. I could take two people. And, so they've gotten the weight down enough with the batteries and that kind of thing where they could fly two people around. And I guess they're saying on a typical charge they can do about an hour before they'd have to come down and come down by choice or on
or not.
Yeah, exactly. But they've already decided that they're going to be working on a hybrid version of this airplane that would have a small diesel-powered engine in it that would be used to recharge the batteries so it could go much further distances. So I don't really know what the weight restrictions on it. I'm sure it's not much. I mean, they had a couple guys in there. They looked like they were 150 each, so it's probably 300-400 pounds maybe that they could take. But hey, if they can do that much, that's definitely really good for a light sport aircraft. And I'm sure they got their plans to do something even bigger. Do you think that would be a game changer? I mean, as Tom Haines from the AOPA said last week, his feeling was, we got to go through this diesel phase for sure. And that's where things are headed right now in the immediate future. But maybe, 5-10 years down the road, maybe we will be looking at electric flying vehicles. What do you think?
I think it's coming, and knowing what's going on in the industry, a lot of people believe that'll be the next generation of light aircraft. Battery technology is making rapid advancements. Now, I just talked to a guy yesterday. A customer came in for a Discovery flight, and his business is RC airplanes, radio-controlled airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
We got talking, and I hadn't dealt with radio controlled airplanes since before I started flying airplanes, and we know that's been a while ago. I got one, was building it, but then I got a flight in a real airplane and started learning to fly real airplanes and never touched the thing again. And then a couple, probably about 10 years ago, I picked up a one that was electric, and it was really kind of tough to fly because the wind was too strong and all that stuff. But in the scheme of things, evidently almost all of these radio controlled airplanes are now electric powered because the battery technology is getting better and better, and thus lighter and lighter.
Right.
Which is so that's exactly what the issue is with putting it in an airplane is this technology is getting it lighter and lighter and lighter till you can have enough power in the airplane to go any significant distance, or what you're talking about, hybrid. So it sounds like they're following the lead of the auto industry, which they're really the ones building that technology and developing that technology because they had to overcome the weight of the batteries,
right,
and get a lighter weight battery that can run the car at higher speeds and then the hybrid where they're able to charge it at times when they're running off the gas engine and I think it's definitely 10 years probably before we see it in a production airplane like a 172 or some variant like that you're probably at least that far out, maybe 15.
Well, but you never know. I mean, some of these RC planes are big enough to take somebody, so they might be the first step. I don't know. I mean, some of them are massive. These guys are flying around. But, yeah, I don't know. I would think that on that one E-fan or E-plane that I saw from the Airbus group, the one thing I didn't see, and maybe I just didn't see it right, I figured that they were incorporating some solar in there as well, but maybe, maybe it wasn't because I just figured that, you got the wings. If you equip the top of the wings with solar panels, you'd think that would play into your favor for an electric powered vehicle.
But
somehow
the problem there is then that's going to add weight, and you know that's the tough thing is you could put that technology on it, but what would it do to the weight? And then would it have enough power to overcome the weight? I mean, that's when you look at airplane designs, it's always been a battle. Putting stuff on that adds weight reduces performance, and you put too much stuff on, well, now you got to get a bigger, more powerful engine.
Right.
And that's where the turbojet and the turbofan came along is, okay, now we can produce some serious thrust, and we can start putting a lot more stuff on these airplanes. That's why we've got the A380. You know, that the technology in the engines to put out the amount of thrust to carry that load finally came down to the point where it was economical to do it.
Hmm. Well, we will see. It's pretty cool to see that those advances are being made, and how long it takes where it comes and or filters down to you and I, time will tell. The other thing I saw this week was this new fighter. Tom Haines, actually, you know, I didn't ask him about this last week on the show, but there was a segment on AOPA Live where he went up and hung out with the military guys and stepped inside the flight simulator of the, what, F-35? Is that the new one that they're working on?
Let's see. It's in training fleets right now, so they're all based up at Eglin. And it's a joint strike fighter where the Navy has a version, the Marines have a version, the Air Force has a version.
And Just Plain Radio must get a version. After you saw what he did, we'll talk about this next because I think we need one. Maybe that could be the official Just Plain Radio airplane.
In your dreams.
Yeah, in my dreams. We'll talk about it next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
You know, a Just Plain Radio F-35, it just has a ring to it, Captain Ed. Come on. Don't you think this would work for us?
It'd work for me.
Well, look, the thing is like a giant video game. Tom Haines from AOPA said it himself on AOPA Live. So you put on this helmet.
Well, he was talking about the helmet, which
right.
is not necessarily specific to that airplane. They can actually put that system on multiple airplanes.
Well, they should, because evidently just the helmet has a price tag of $250,000 per helmet. And they're tailor-made to the pilot. Well, for that much, you would think they would do a lot of other things for the pilot as well. But
yeah.
But yeah, you know, the thing is, you put this thing on, it's like a virtual reality helmet. You can look up, down, anywhere without seeing the plane, but you can see what's all around you, including under you. You don't see your feet. You don't see the wheels of the plane necessarily. Well, maybe you do. I don't know if you see the plane.
No, from what I understand, and I watched the segment too, and I've actually seen this technology, a video of this technology before, and that's exactly what it is. You look down. You don't see your feet. You don't see the bottom of the airplane. You basically, because you're as your head tilts around, there are sensors in the helmet knowing which angle your head's looking at, so it plays you the information that you're getting from the cameras or the sensors that are placed around the airplane, so you get an image of what you would be seeing if you were looking that direction.
It truly makes you or gives you the perspective of you flying yourself,
yeah.
I would think. And that's just, that is awesome. And I'm like, we have to equip that Cessna 172 with this technology. All we need is the price of a new plane.
It would enhance safety, because then when you look around before you turn, the wing wouldn't be in your way. You'd look up and you'd see if there was an airplane over there before you made your maneuver.
Right.
And it's that you know, in the military aspect, you're looking for bogeys that are about to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
But in the rest of aviation, we're looking for traffic, so we don't have any mid-air collisions. How many times have you done your cross countries and you're like, I can't find my check lights, and I'm like, because it's below you.
It's never happened to me.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It never has happened to you, because then you'd have to be perfectly on course.
That's true. That's what I was going to say. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away. They say, come fly with me. Let's fly away.
You know, I wonder if this is the next best thing to actually flying, and that is operating a drone. You know, we're talking about flying RC planes. Those are a blast, I'm sure. I haven't done that. I need to do that. It can't be quite the same.
No, it's not. And it's not as easy. I'll tell you that much. I have done it. And you know, the guy who comes from the RC to the airplane does pretty well. The guy who goes from the airplane to the RC generally does not do well.
Really? Why is that? Because if I operate my plane like I'm flying it, it just doesn't go where I think it's going to go.
I know when I did it, I had a tendency to over control it.
Mm-hmm.
And because especially when you're flying the airplane away from you, everything works fine. But then when you turn it towards you, everything's reversed. Now, I think with technology and talking to this guy I was telling you about, you know, they put little cameras on there and that you can actually watch remotely through your controller, these cameras, so you can get that bird's eye view of where you're going.
Right. You flip on your Google Glass. And then you operate your RC thing or whatever accordingly. Or, like I said, a drone. It's way cooler to call them drones now anyway. And I'll tell you.
Actually, that's a problem that the FAA is starting to want to regulate stuff. And the radio control enthusiasts are like, whoa, wait a minute. Because they could end up being classified in the same category.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. I mean, yeah. FAA is trying to catch up, but yeah, there's definitely a big brother aspect to this. That the people that are already doing this are a bit worried about the FAA coming in and clamping down even more than they already are. I still don't understand this whole gray area. Supposedly, you can operate a drone if it's not for hire or for profit or something. But if it is, then it does come under the FAA rules that you can't operate. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's all convoluted.
They're trying to figure out where it fits in the rules. And
it doesn't. That's the point. This is a new frontier. And they're
going to have to fit it in the rules.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to happen. They're going to start regulating it.
Yeah, yeah. Or something's going to happen where someone flies a friggin' drone into the path of an aircraft or something and creates a problem and then all hell break loose. So, yeah, they're going to have to figure something out with these as well. But in the meantime, it's kind of like the Wild Wild West as far as how people are operating. You can only hope that someone doesn't do anything stupid like that in the meantime. However, there are some pretty cool new developments in the drone world, and one of them I saw this week. You know, I didn't really see the practical application for how I would like to use a drone, which would be to film, you know, some dive boats that I go off and dive off of the ocean, and then have a drone, operate it from the dive boat and have them film us and get that bird's eye perspective that would cost you, you know, $5,000 with a helicopter aerial shot or something. That's kind of an application that I'd like to use in the future. But this new drone that I saw, I thought, you know, it had some pretty cool applications, but also had some big brother issues as well, because it was basically, it looked like a, you know, like an airplane, a regular airplane. However, the blades rotated I mean, there's actually a plane that does this, too, that's in development, I guess. But, you know, it can take off like a helicopter, and then the blades rotate, and then it turns into a fixed-wing aircraft and can fly fast and low and whatever, and, you know, much faster than a quadcopter type of device could go. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you know which plane I'm talking about? There's a plane in development that's like that as well. I don't know if it's military or something, but... But
no, I'm not sure. I didn't see anything about that.
Yeah, but it has two big propellers, and, you know, it lands like a helicopter. So it operates like a helicopter with two propellers, you know, like on the wings, and then it gets up to a certain altitude, and then the propellers and engines rotate, and then it turns into a fixed-wing aircraft and takes off like a spaceship kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Pretty cool
yeah.
stuff. But they had this in the drone world, too, so you wouldn't need... obviously, it would land just like a quadcopter drone, but this thing could actually get some real speed under its wings and go, and maybe have much more capability as far as distance and that kind of thing to take off. But you wouldn't have to launch it, I guess, because it could literally take off like a helicopter. So
yeah.
Let's get one. What do you say? Could we start there, Ed? What do you think?
Hey, if you want to buy it, I'm all for it.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. What about an aircraft like that? That would be kind of handy.
I'll go back to if you want to buy it, I'm all for it.
Well, where's all this buying stuff? Hey, you know, we're just plain radio. We shouldn't have to buy anything. These manufacturers are supposed to provide us product for us to review and share with our crew and our passengers so they can make proper purchasing decisions. That's really one of the main focuses of Just Plain Radio, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, okay. At least it's a goal. Whether it's reality remains to be seen, but we can always hope. But I don't know. That type of plane, I mean, that's one of the biggest problems you have with fixed-wing aircraft. And I'm wondering if... Maybe that is the wave of things of the future. Well, they'll start combining, helicopters and airplanes, so you don't have this whole runway and takeoff issue. What do you think?
Well, that's where they were talking about it in the 50s, and they still don't do that. The helicopters still run into problems.
Well, from what sense? What do you mean?
There are places where they don't want them going.
Well, I mean, if they still had to go to a airport, but mm-hmm. you wouldn't need as much space because you wouldn't need a whole runway. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Well, that would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, technology seems to be the theme of the show today, and this is what has been showing up on my radar, and I just saw that, and I thought, hey, this could work. I like this idea. It beats the seaplane issues that I see some of the folks up north evidently have issues with. We're down in Orlando, but I did see this video last week where the seaplanes have to come in and get some maintenance. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
That was pretty wild. And basically they have to get them into this maintenance area that doesn't have a lake. So I'm not sure exactly how they land the plane or
they,
what
they land them on the grass.
They land, so you can land a seaplane on the grass, and it just kind of scoots to a halt if it doesn't have wheels?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, but the taking off is the problem. So they get in a pickup truck. They put the seaplane up on a trailer mm-hmm. and have the pickup truck drive it down the runway up to takeoff speed, and the seaplane lifts off of the trailer. It's one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. Have they been doing that for years, as far as you know, or was that new to you? Have you ever seen that before?
I've never seen it before, but it sounds like they've been doing it for years.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very practical solution to a problem that, I didn't know existed, actually. Redneck ingenuity is what it looked like to me. But either, you got to do that kind of stuff, or we got to wait for these technological advances for helicopters and planes to merge. You know, if they were able to do that, I would imagine the flying cars, is right behind them. You think? I mean, because that's kind of what it is.
They're out there, but there's the regulatory side of it. You can't take it off of a highway.
Well, I don't know. That guy at the Lightsport Aircraft Show in Sebring last year who had that flying car with the parachute on it, it was kind of like, I don't know, that's a combination of a car and not an airplane, but what are they? Those things called? Those paragliders or whatever?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of them, but yeah. I wouldn't fly one of them.
Well, I asked him. I said, so could you get on, you know, you're in the interstate and you you have a problem with traffic. Could you just get off into the median and just set your thing up and make a few adjustments and take off and fly away? And he made it sound like, yeah, you could. But you're right. I think there's some issues there with, I don't know what, I don't even know what, would that come over under the FAA as well?
Yeah.
But it's highway safety.
Yeah. No, the FAA is the one prohibiting it.
They would not approve something like that, you think, huh?
No.
Why? What would be the problem?
Because it's mixing of aviation and not, that's why they don't want trucks on runways.
Well, why would a truck go on a runway? They can only go about 4,000 feet, and then they'd have to turn around and go back the other way.
That's why they don't like vehicles going around the airport, because ground traffic and air traffic don't mix well.
But it's a flying car!
You just have been enamored with it ever since you saw, what was it?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah, who? So. I know I'm not alone. Help me out, people.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now go! Fly! Be free!
Time for me to fly! I wanna set myself free!
Time for me to fly!
That's just how it's got to be! I know it hurts to say goodbye, but it's time for me to fly!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so technology has seemed to been to, you know, today's theme. We're kind of getting up to speed with the 90s. old school flyers we are. But you know, there's a lot of cool developments coming down the pipeline that hopefully will make us safer and better pilots. And if nothing else, just increase the enjoyment of flying around or make it easier. That's really where I'm going with this. And, you know, one of the people at the forefront of this effort to make things easier, almost to a, some people don't like it, but I love it. And of course, I'm talking about ForeFlight. you know, that iPad app that you can use and basically turn into a glass panel right there at your convenience. It's portable. You can plan your flight. You can use it in flight. You can use it after the flight. It just, they keep throwing more things, including the kitchen sink, into this app to just make it more and more automated and just user-friendly. Just so much information. It's crazy what they're coming out with each release. And ForeFlight Mobile 6 just was released, I guess, last week or the week before.
Yeah.
And are you seeing some people use that are coming into the flight school or what, Ed?
Oh, yeah. 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 A lot of people have upgraded to it. It does require having iOS 7.1 or higher. And that if you don't have 7.1, you have not gotten a notification that ForeFlight 6.0 is available to you, because if you don't have 7.1 or higher, it's not going to tell you there's an update available. You can go out and get it, but of course it won't download unless you have iOS 7.1 or higher.
Got it. So you got to have an iPad that's up to speed, can handle the new OS and that whole thing, which, yeah, I do, by the way. I have the latest operating system on my iPad. I haven't delved into the new ForeFlight yet, but what are you hearing from some of your students and people that are using it as far as the new features?
Oh, they like them. I think probably the top one for the VFR pilots is the ability to, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, that through Lockheed Martin you could open and close your flight plan from a link in your email, your VFR flight plan, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, we immediately are like, ooh, we hope ForeFlight gets that, and sure enough, that's one of the top updates with 6.0. You can, once you file your flight plan, so you're in the office, you're in the Wi-Fi range, you file the flight plan, and then a button appears on the flight plan screen that says activate. And all you have to do is press that button when it's time to activate it. Now, the hitch is, if you have a Wi-Fi only iPad, you will not be able to activate it once you're out in the airplane, because you don't have a Wi-Fi connection. So you need to have the data plan in and turned on to do it, or, because you can put ForeFlight on up to three devices, if you have it on your iPhone, you can then just open ForeFlight on your iPhone. You can set up the iPhone that when it downloads data, it will also download flight plans. Then you go to the flight plan page on the iPhone, and the activate button will already be green.
Nice.
So you're getting ready for takeoff, about to clear call for the takeoff clearance. You just go tap the activate button, your flight plan's activated. Then when you get to your destination, you can go back in, and the button will be there for you to close your VFR flight plan. I get a lot of customers that complain about opening and closing VFR flight plans over the radio, and you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to open your VOR flight plan. I think you even have that on video and on the website.
Yeah, thanks for that, by the way.
I had to bring it up, right? Come on. You know I had to. But think about that process that we have to go through to open that flight plan.
Right.
And sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't get them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, it's just click a button, it's open, click a button, it's closed, which I think significantly enhances safety, because people have gotten lax on this opening and closing VFR flight plans. They think that flight following is the saving grace. Well, if you're on flight following and you don't you drop off the radar screen, guess what? They're not going to come searching for you. They're going to just say, okay, he must have switched frequencies. They're not even going to make an effort to search for you.
Hmm. Well, that's not very...
A lot of people say, well, if I'm doing flight following, I don't need to do a VFR flight plan. Well, they're very wrong. Because if you drop off the radar screen, they're just going to assume to change frequencies, they're not going to pursue it, period. That's their policy.
Okay. But if you file a flight plan and you don't check in.
If you file a flight plan and open the flight plan and you don't close it in the proper amount of time, they will start looking for you. And so this has just made it easier for the pilot to open and close their VFR flight plan.
Yeah. And you know, the closing part is the issue that I had a problem with at one point. But a lot of people forget.
That phone call. Oh crap! I forgot to close my flight.
Exactly, one of those deals. Next thing you know, there's
another thing nice about filing the flight plan through ForeFlight. You're able to put two phone numbers in. So say you put your cell phone number in and then a destination phone number of somebody else who's supposed to be meeting you there, or you put the flight school's phone number in one box, your phone number in the other box. You know, between those two phone numbers, they're going to get somebody.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That's good. I'm surprised we can't do that just filing it through your phone. That's a good feature, actually.
You can. There's a block for it, but the controller doesn't ask for it, so most people don't do it.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay. All right, so there you go. Another feature of 4Flight 6.0. Very handy for sure. Also, they got this new profile view that helps you manage terrain, I guess, right? Or give you a little bit more situational awareness, right?
Say that fast three times.
Never. Not going to even attempt it.
Once you program your flight plan in, you can look at the cross track or the profile view, and it will show where you know to make sure that your altitudes are clear of all terrain. It's not dealing with obstacles; it's just dealing with terrain.
All right, well, that works. So go check it out, 4Flight.com. And that'll do it for this week's edition of The Big Show. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.